beginning of this week's parasha. So I never, I mean, I paid attention. I shouldn't say I didn't pay attention, but I never really focused on what it's doing here and exactly what it's saying. In the beginning of this week's parasha, it says as follows: "Vaydaber Elohim Moshe, vayomer Elav ani Adonai." So Elohim said to Moshe. The reason why I'm using the transliteration of God's name is because God's name is the significant part here. The name that He uses, so on and so forth. That's the message of the verses. So that's why I'm being very careful to use what it says. So Elohim said to Moshe, and He said to him, "I am Adoshem." Vayira el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov ve'el Shaddai. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, using the name El Shaddai, El Shakai, Ushmi Hashem, and my name Hashem, Adoshem, the Yudke Vavke, Lo No Dati Lahem. And here there's a grammatical problem, because Lo No Dati Lahem means I was not made known to them. So it should have said Uvi Shmi Hashem Lo No Dati Lahem, with my name Hashem, I was not made known to them. Or Ushmi Hashem Lo Hodati Lahem. Could have said, "My name Hashem, I did not tell them, I did not inform them." But instead it says, Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem. It seems to be two different parts. But the Ibn Ezra explains that what it really means is, Uvi Shmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem. With my name Hashem, Yudke Vavke, I was not known to them. You should just put in, pretend like there's a bet there. Uvi Shmi Hashem, not just Ushmi Hashem. And I don't know if that's the way our scroll translates it. Yeah, they say, "But with my name Hashem, I did not make myself known to them." Okay? So that's the crux that we want to focus on. These two psukim, where Hashem says, "I am Hashem," and that to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I only appeared with the name Kel Shakai, and I did not appear to them, or I did not make myself known to them, with the shame Hashem. Hey, we're also going to see, though, that the next verses are very important. So let's just read what those are. V'gam hakimosi es brisi itam laseis lahem es eretz kanan eis eretz mukrehem asher garuva. And also, I've established a bris with them to give them eretz kanan, the land of their sojournings that they sojourned in. V'gam, and also, ani shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael asher mitrayim avidim osam v'es korpus brisi. I also heard the cries of b'nei Yisrael, which, because the Egyptians are working them so hard, and I remembered my bris, my covenant, which sounds, these sounds to be like non sequiturs, you know, not, it's not clear what the connection is between one verse and the next, if you just read these things. L'chein emor, l'ibnei Yisrael, ani Hashem, v'otzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos mitzrayim. And here we get the four languages of Geula that we talk about on Pesach night, that there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that He's going to take us out using four different languages of redemption. He said, "I am going to take you out from the oppression of Egypt. V'itzalti eschem me'avodasam, I'm going to save you from their labor. V'ga'alti eschem mizron tuya, I'm going to redeem you with an outstretched arm. U'vishvatim gedolim. And the fourth one, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, I'll take you as a people. V'yisi lachem le'elohim. V'idatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, ha'motzi eschem mitachas sivos mitraim. You will know that I am your God, Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, from the oppression of Egypt." And finally, the fifth Lashon, right, which isn't counted as one of the Lashonos, one of the languages of redemption, but it appears here, and that's some authorities have it, that's the Koshel Eliyahu corresponds to on Pesach night. Ve'vesi eschem el ha'aretz, asher nasasi esadi lasei sosar l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov. And finally, I will bring you to the land that I have raised my hand to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, so there are really several questions that sort of pop out at us. One question, which is obvious just from the text, is to figure out what is the flow of these psukim, and particularly, how does it fit with what the last parasha ended with? In the last parasha, Shmos, previous parasha, ended with things not working out so well, right? Moshe went to complain, or to say, "Let my people go," And because of that, things only got worse. So Moshe says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hareyosa, Lama Hazeh, why have you made things bad for this people? Lama Zeh Shalachtani, and why have you sent me? Okay, and then Hashem says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ata Tireh Asher Aseh LeFaro, Ki Biyad Chazaka Yishalechem, UBiyad Chazaka Yigarshei Me'artzo." So he says, "Okay, you'll see what I'm going to do to Paro, because I'm going to make it so that he sends Bnei Yisrael out with an outstretched hand." This is from last week's parasha. So what does the beginning of this week's parasha have to do with anything? Why does he then start giving a speech about the name that he used to reveal himself to our forefathers, as opposed to the name that he's using now to reveal himself? That's one question, just what is the flow? And then, from there, what does that have to do with what follows in the psukim? I mean, just trying to make sense of the flow of the psukim is somewhat difficult here. That's one question that we have to keep our eye on. Not everything that we're going to see is going to deal explicitly with that question, but it's one of the things that the Rishonim that we're going to see and the other commentators are trying to navigate. The other point, which isn't obvious just from reading the psukim, is that it's not really accurate when Hashem says, "I did not reveal my name," or "I did not make myself known to them with the name of Hashem." At least not on the face of it. The Rishonim point out that there are two places in Bereishis where Hashem uses the name Hashem when he talks to the Avos. He says, "I am Yudke Vavke." You look in the first sheet of that packet, in the bottom of the first page, it says the Ibn Ezra. So the first underlining is Vine Matzanu Katuv Avraham Ani Hashem Yudke Vavke Asher Otsei Sicha Meretz Mior Kazdim. Sorry, Uv Yaakov Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha. And we also find, regarding Yaakov, that Hashem says, "I am Yudkei Vavkei, the God of your father Avraham." So we do find twice already in Bereishis that not only is the name Yudkei Vavkei used, it's used throughout Bereishis, but God revealed the name Yudkei Vavkei to the people, to the forefathers he was talking to. And he said that's a pretty big problem, right? If you know Sefer Bereishis, for this pasuk, how could God say here that I didn't make myself known through the name Yudkei Vavkei, if in fact he did? Okay, that's the second overarching or basic question that the commentators are going to try to answer in some way or another. Okay? So now, with regard to the first question at least, Rashi says something very interesting. They're basically, regarding the first question of what this is doing here, how we explain in context why Hashem is talking about this at all, we have two approaches. With the second approach, it's going to have many variations, and we're going to focus on those variations, but there's fundamentally a difference between the first approach and all the other variations on the second approach. Rashi, on Pasuk Tes, this is the first Rashi quoted on the page, takes this part of the story, or of the speech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a very strong criticism of Moshe. Right? In light of the fact that Moshe, in last week's parsha, says, "You haven't helped at all, you've only made the situation worse, and why have you sent me?" So, this is not really an answer, according to Rashi. At least this part of Rashi. Instead, Rashi quotes this Medrash as saying that, "How dare you speak to me like that? How dare you even ask me?" But not only how dare you, but Hashem says, "I can compare you to the Avos, and we'll see that the Avos had much more reason to ask such questions, and much less reason to believe in me, and yet they still didn't question me, and yet you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have even more reason to believe that this is all for the good, and yet you still question me." That's how they interpret, this piece of Medrash understands the Psukim. Let's read what it says. Rabboseinu darshuhu le'inyak shamala. Amar Moshe, lama hareyosa. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chaval al de'avdin velo mishtachin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's too bad that those who are lost, in other words, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are no longer with us, are lost and can't be found. I'd rather them be here. Yesh li lis onein al misas ha'avos. I should be bitter, mourn about the death of the avos, because harbe pa'amim niglesi alehem bekel shakai velo amru li ma shemecha. Right, I appeared to them many times using this term Kel Shakai, which is not really my name. Okay, it's just a description of something, some aspect of me. And they never asked me, "What is your name?" The Ata Marta Mashimo Mao Marlehem, and you had the audacity to say, "What is your name?" When they ask, "What's your name?" I have to know what to tell them. And furthermore, the Gam Hakimosi Kshvikesh Avram Likbor Asara Lo Matza Kever Ad Shikana Bedamim Rubim. Right? Avram Avinu couldn't find a kever for his wife Sarah until he had to pay a lot of money for it. Yitzchak, they complained, the people in Grar, about the wells that he dug. And he had to go and purchase something just to find a place to live. And yet they didn't question my ways, say that I wasn't doing something properly or acting properly. The Ata Marta Lama Hariosa. And then you, to compound the fact that you want to know my name, you accuse me of causing trouble to Bnei Yisrael. Okay, and here Rashi actually dissents from this Medrash. This is one of the places where Rashi says that he makes actually a programmatic statement, it seems, about what kind of Midrashim he likes to quote and which ones he doesn't. He says that this one he doesn't find suitable because it's not mityashev achar hamikra. Okay, he doesn't sit well with the psukim, Rashi says, and he's only going to quote those Midrashim which sit well with the psukim. Like he says in the last line, lachin ani omer yashev hamikra pshuto davar dabur alofanav. Okay, the drasha can be made. He's not denying that there are a lot of midrashim which are fine and good, but he's not going to quote them because he doesn't think they're pshuto shel mikra. He doesn't think that they fit nicely with the psukim. Okay, but the medrash says what the medrash says. Okay, even if Rashi doesn't accept it, it's certainly a medrash. This approach is to say that the reason why God is telling Moshe how he has revealed himself, what name he has used, and what name he's using now, and then to further discuss the bris, the covenant that he made with the Avos, is to criticize Moshe in a very harsh way, is to say, how dare you ask me for my name and then claim that I don't do good things for Bnei Yisrael. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the opposite. They never asked me for my name. I only told them Kel Shakai. And they never told me that I wasn't behaving justly or appropriately with them. Okay, now they could question this a little bit, right? Just even leaving aside the Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's not entirely true that Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and Yaakov never said to Hashem that something he was doing maybe wasn't correct. So, for example, Avram in stone, Avram did question the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's certainly not as harsh as the way Moshe spoke. So there is room for this criticism. Okay, and that's one overall approach. Yeah.
By the Avos, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not sure exactly, but basically I think it was telling them that your children are going to inherit this land. And then the incidents that the Medrash is talking about is that why you personally are not, or situations where they personally were not getting the benefit that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them ultimately will be given to their children. But that's a lot different than Moshe Rabbeinu saying, okay, we're many generations past that. Now we have a whole Hamon Rav. We're not the Avos. We're the people who were supposed to get the benefit. And I'm not asking for myself. I'm not being affected at all. You know?
It's very interesting you say that. That's basically one of the variations on the second pshat, which views this as encouraging of Moshe, and basically makes the exact same point that you're making, which is that then it was a promise that it was supposed to happen further down the line, and therefore there really wasn't any room for questioning at that point. But now we're at the point where it's supposed to come to fruition, and that's why Hashem has to sort of reconfirm or explain to Moshe that really he's going to come through. So that point, I think, is a very valid one. But in the Medrash itself, the Medrash is talking about the case of the Avos, where he did things to them that sort of seemed unjust, and still they didn't question Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Avram not being able to find a burial plot for Sarah wasn't really about a future promise that he was making to his children. It was about the way that Avram would have expected, or Moshe would have expected, Akadosh Baruch Hu to treat someone who had been an Eved Hashem his whole life, that at least he should be able to have a burial plot for his wife without paying so much.
Hashem said to Avram, Lecha etnena lezarecha acharecha, right?
Right.
So he said, Lecha etnena, I'll give it to you. So that would answer, that he was promised the land.
Right. It's interesting. Right. I mean, he was promised the land, I guess, in the sense, though, maybe that it's yours to then, for your children to take, because he also told them explicitly that your children will not be in the land for a certain period of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to be taken back in the case of Ben Hasarim. Okay, so maybe we'll just use that to move on to the next pshat, the other interpretation of what's going on here is, like I said, totally the opposite of this. It's not a criticism at all of Moshe. Rather, it's an encouragement. It's an answer to his question. Right? He said. And we should note that there are actually two questions. The Abarbanel is going to take note of this in a very, very beautiful way. Moshe said both, Lama hareyosa lama zeh, sorry, the Menezra, why have you done badly to your people? Lama zeh shalachtani, and why have you sent me? So in answering that question, God is somehow using the fact that he revealed himself in one way to the Avos, in a weaker way, but he is now going to reveal himself using the Shem Hashem. Okay, and this is connected, all these answers, which understand things that way, they all are going to address that second question that we mentioned, which is that it seems that he did really reveal himself using Shem Hashem to the Avos, at least to Avraham once, and Yaakov once. Like we said. So they're going to say that there's some sense in which even though he revealed himself, he did reveal the Shem Hashem, there's something new here when he's going to reveal himself using the Shem Hashem now. Okay, and that's going to answer the question of why have you sent me?
It seems strange to me that it's a continuing speech that there's a separation between Shmot and
Ma'ir. Oh, that's a very good point. So the Christians actually, if you know the Prakim, Perek Vav, whoever divided it, it happened to be a Christian person, not like the Christians overall decided this, but Perek Vav starts in last week's parasha. But Chazal apparently saw this as a fundamentally different response to Moshe. Right? At the end of last week's parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says one thing, which is, you'll see that I am going to take them out with a Yad Chazakah, but that's only one point. I mean, that's not apparently the major point. The major point is this whole new shift in emphasis that I'm going to reveal myself using Shem Hashem. That seems to be the ultimate purpose here of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. At least according to some of the commentators we're going to see, that's going to be their explanation. That there's something much more grandiose about the revealing it with Shem Hashem over and above just redeeming us from Egypt and our suffering in Egypt. Okay, but that depends on which commentary you take. We'll see as we go along. Okay, so the first variation on this is Rashi in the beginning. This is what Rashi actually thinks. Rashi in the beginning of the parasha says, "Vayomer elav ani Hashem, ne'eman l'shalem sachar tov l'mitalchim l'fanai." Hashem, okay, the word yud kei vav kei means he who is trustworthy in paying back or paying the sachar, right, the rewards or what's deserved for those who walk in front of me. V'lo l'chinam shalachticha, ki m'kayem dvari, shedibarti l'avos harishonim. And when you ask me, Moshe, lama zeh shalachtani, I'm going to tell you that it wasn't for naught. The reason why is in order to fulfill that promise that I made to the avos. V'lashon hazeh matzinu shu nidrash b'cham mekomos, we find that this language of Shem Hashem is understood this way in other places, Ani Hashem Nema Lipara. Right? When it says Ani Hashem, oftentimes referring to Averos, it means I'll pay you back. In that case, it's pay you back for what you've done wrong. But Rashi says it's the same idea, right? It's paying you back for what you deserve. If you deserve punishment, I can give you punishment. If you deserve, if you deserve to be taken out because I promised that to the Avos, I will take you out. Okay, that's Shem Hashem. But Kel Shakai is Hiftachtim Aftachot. Kel Shakai is symbolic of making the promise to begin with, Rashi says. If you look throughout Bereishis, where Kel Shakai is used, it's not used in reference to a fulfillment of the promise, or a fulfillment of the covenant. It's used in the formulation of the covenant to begin with, the making of the promise. So therefore, Rashi says, once you have these two pieces, right, the understanding of Shem Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, and the understanding of the name Kel Shakai, now it makes sense, if you read our psukim, what it means. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with Kel Shakai, but not B'Shem Hashem. Right? V'shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem, lo hodati ein ksiv kan, el lo nodati. Lo nikarti lehem b'midas amitus sheli. Right? I was not recognizable to them. I was not made known to them using my attribute or under my attribute of truth, of the one who fulfills the promises that he makes. Sha'alea nikra shemi Hashem ne'eman la'amet dvari. Sha'arei hivtachtim, v'lo kiyamti. Rashi says, the point is that for the Avos, everything was basically in the realm of promises, right? Like you said. Except for a few things here and there, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, acted on behalf of the Avos themselves, most of what was going on is Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, because you're so good, I promise you such and such for your future generations, or at some time very far down the line. But now we're at the point where the promise is supposed to be made good on. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be fulfilling this promise. The promise he made at the Bris Ben Habisarim, or the promise to give Avram's descendants the land of Israel. All these things now, it's time for them to actually take place. So Hashem is saying, now I'm going to be acting B'Shem Hashem. Before I was only acting B'Kel Shakai, as one who makes promises, but now I'm going to be acting B'Shem Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei. And that's the reason I'm sending you. Don't despair, he says. The time really has come. I'm going to be acting B'Shem Hashem. It's not going to just be promises and promises and promises anymore.
Maybe he's realizing now that they, did what they're supposed to do. So now he's actually putting all these promises into reality.
Who did what they're supposed to do?
B'nai Yisrael? To the Avot, to the people. I mean, he promised them certain things.
Right.
And now that they behaved themselves and did everything they're supposed to
do. Who behaved that? B'nai Yisrael?
The people, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't behave themselves so well.
So why would he then bring this into reality with the promises?
So
it just contradicts.
But it seems that, just from if you read the psukim here and in Bereishis where Hashem promised Avram, it seems that it doesn't really depend on us doing the right thing. We're supposed to go into exile, into Mitzrayim for a certain amount of time, and then Hashem is going to take us out at the end of that period of time, whatever that period of time is, regardless of what we're doing. Because that's the promise he made to Avram.
Right.
And that's one of the aspects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to here. Right? God says, I remember the promise I made.
Right.
The second aspect he refers to is that they cried out.
The note down here, where it says, Begam, number 4, says, moreover, not only did I appear to them, I also established a covenant with them to give them the land. And a covenant, by definition, cannot be altered or abrogated, mm-hmm. even if one of the parties becomes undeserving. So right. It didn't matter that...
Right, okay.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. Once he made that covenant with Abram, so it really wasn't dependent at all on how the children would behave. It's not like God said, as long as your children walk in your ways.
Yeah, but also it says here, which include punishment for sin, for the sin people, and rewards for the virtue. Which means on the first page on the left all the way down, Ani Adonai.
Okay.
So it shows you there that the people that sins, obviously, they got punished regardless.
So this is actually, he's quoting from Rashi here, which is what we were referring to. And so what he means by punishment for sin, reward for virtue, is the virtue of the avos. And the sins of other people, let's say, future generations who don't behave.
Right.
But it means I am Hashem who's going to fulfill my promise to a virtuous person, namely Avram Avinu, irrespective of how his children behave.
Right, okay.
But the when the Jews were in but we are commended for... Like,
right, certain
there.
Things, I mean, correct, yeah.
So, but was that, like, reward for doing that, or it's just mentioned as, like, a compliment for having kept the names and...
Right, it's an excellent question. I mean, in the Pesukim, it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the fact that we kept our names and our clothing, and so on and so forth. But there are actually Mefarshim who, right here in this Parsha, do connect our going out to some things that we did. They say, Na'akas b'nei Yisrael really means, like, Tzakas b'nei Yisrael b'tshuva. It wasn't just that they cried out for help, they cried out in repentance, Takarish Baruch Hu. I mean, they don't refer specifically to the fact they didn't change their names, but they do assume that we did something to merit the geula. But, you know, I don't think that's really pshat.
We also sunk to, like...
right, exactly. We say that the fourth level. Right, okay, so that's true, right? We do have that memra in Chazal, that at least the women who were tzidkaniyos got us out of Egypt.
Is that right? It's a medrash, yeah.
Yeah.
They helped to save the children, and they would go out and help their husbands in the field.
Don't tell my wife.
Rashi doesn't want to quote that one.
Don't tell Sheila. Don't tell Sheila anything about this at all.
That's why you wrote Rashi's script.
Sorry.
So this... explanation of Rashi explains the context very nicely, both before and after, right? It explains why it appears here on the heels of the end of last week's parasha, and it also explains why the continuation is that I will fulfill the bris that I made with the avos to give them Eretz Canaan. That's the pasuk immediately following. But in addition, a point that Rashi, I don't think, emphasizes, but is interesting and I think true, is that the two places where Shem Hashem is used in Bereishis, in the case of Avram Avinu and in the case of Yaakov, it's referring to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already done something for them. If you look, it's even on your page where we quoted the original question that Ibn Ezra had. When he says to Avram, Ani Hashem, he says, Ani Hashem asher hotzei sicha me'or kasdim. Right? It's not Ani Hashem that will give you Eretz Canaan. Okay, it's Ani Hashem that already did something for you. I fulfilled something for you. Okay, it wasn't really a promise, it seems, but perhaps it was in response to something good that Avram Avinu had done. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out of Or Kasdim. So the usages that we find there, and it's also true in Yaakov, I mean, it's not as clear, but it is pretty clear regarding Yaakov that it's not about a future promise that he's saying, Ani Hashem. It's just Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha. Right? I am the God of your father Avraham, meaning I was with your father Avraham already. If not, I am Hashem who will be with you and your children. Throughout Bereishis, we find other statements like that, to that effect, right? I am with you, and I will be with you. But in these cases, it's I was with you at a previous point, or I was with your father Avraham, your grandfather Avraham, and your father Yitzchak. So it fits very nicely that those are the two places where it uses Shem Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself using Shem Hashem. Okay, so that also answers the second question that we had. Okay, so that's one variation. Now, there are several other variations whose theme is that we don't really have a great explanation of why in those two places, let's say, Shem Hashem was used. For the most part, we're going to see at the end maybe Rav Tzadok HaKohen, Milublin, as an explanation of why specifically those places. But the point is that overall, my manifestation, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the way in which I reveal myself in the world was in the manner of Kel Shakai rather than Shem Hashem. It's not that I didn't use the words Shem Hashem, or it's not even that I didn't use those in a context which seems somewhat inexplicable in light of these these explanations. It's just that my overall demeanor, my overall way of dealing with you, or the Avos, was reflected by the words Kel Shakai, as opposed to the way that I'm going to deal with you now, that's symbolized by Shem Hashem. Yudkei Vavkei. Okay, it's very similar to what we just said in Rashi. It's just that I think the reason why I separated them is because Rashi can fit even more smoothly with those two cases where it uses Shem Hashem. These are not going to fit so smoothly with those usages. But what they're going to say is, don't emphasize the word Hashem and when it was used. The point is, Shem Havaya and what it represents wasn't carried out in the time of the Avos. Only the Midah of Kel Shakai, the attribute of Kel Shakai, that's what was carried out, not the attribute of Shem Havaya. But what is the difference? In what sense is Kel Shakai different from Shem Hashem? So aside from Rashi, there are several other explanations. The Ramban says that the difference is how apparent his control is over the world. Okay, the Ramban says that this is a point that sort of originates with the Ramban, or the Ramban certainly took it to another level, the distinction between a Nes Nistar and a Nes Nigla, a hidden miracle and a revealed miracle. This is very much a part of the thought of the Ramban, both on his commentary on the Torah and elsewhere. The Ramban thinks that very often the whole concept of Schar V'Onesh, the fact that we can be punished, that itself relies on a miracle, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't intervened, then things would have just gone as they were in any case. Again, it wouldn't really have been connected in any way to our deeds or our actions. So the fact that there is a correlation of some sort, we don't really understand it, because it doesn't seem obvious to us what the correlation is, but God tells us there is one, that already presupposes that God is acting in history. Very often. Okay, it's not at this rare times for the Ramban, it's almost constantly. Because people are treated in response to the way that they behave. But that still is only a Nes Nistar. Because what God is doing, it seems, according to Ramban, is just redirecting the way nature should take things. Okay, but a Nes Nigla means that not only is it apparent to us, it's more obvious that it's a Nes, but also the intervention is of a greater magnitude. God is somehow either creating something from nothing, that was only the beginning, but making some new phenomenon that didn't exist before, or destroying something that didn't exist before. Those are the cases of Nes Nigla. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his full mastery over the world. So he demonstrates. He obviously always has it, but that's when he demonstrated. So the Ramban says that until now, there really were no, at least in the Psukim, no Nisim that were of the second order, of the higher order. Right? Things that were done that were just so apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated control over the world. There were things, obviously, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the Avos in certain ways. I guess the Mabul was probably a pretty big thing. But let's say from the Avos down, from the Avos on, they lived ordinary lives, which were obviously led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responding to things that they did, but there were no tremendous miracles, mentioned in the Psukim at least, done with regard to the Avos. But from here on in, or at least in Sefer Shmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to perform tremendous miracles and demonstrate that I have absolute mastery over the universe.
What about Sarah having
Yitzhak? Right, so that's some of the
that
questions.
Would be, like, recognized by the world, like, how could she have a baby
at her age? Right, so in the Medrash, it's made out to be something that, you know, other people were just completely astounded by. And even in the Psukim, it's something that Avram and Sarah found astounding. But the Ramban actually deals with that and also with other cases, such as Yocheved. Okay, according to the Medrash and according to Ramban's Pshat, she gave birth at at 130, right? Because she was born when they came into Mitzrayim, and Moshe was 80 when they left. So, if she gave birth to Moshe, which she did, then and they were there for 210 years, that means she gave birth at 130. So the Ramban says that's still in the category of Nes Nistar.
Okay.
Aaron was 3 years older, right? So,
127 to 130.
It's true. I guess the kasha would be from Aaron also. And from Miriam. We don't actually know how old Miriam was.
In fact, the whole family. You know, all of them.
The kasha just gets worse.
By Moshe, but
right, no, it's true. Aaron would be even more remarkable, or not even more remarkable, but just almost as remarkable.
All of the things in Bereshit are potentially within the realm of nature. In other words, a flood is natural, Sodom and Gomorrah and an earthquake is natural, and in the law we have a concept called the fertile octogenarian, so it's also possible that Yocheved could have a baby at 130. Mm. But when you turn the Nile into blood, that's above nature.
Mm-hmm. You have to, okay. So, in philosophy, there's a...
Unless it's red algae.
Right, I mean, there are people who have... Right, for some of them, they were able to do this. But let's say Makas Bechoros, I think that was sort of beyond their pen.
There's a lot of natural things, and they made it into...
I mean, where exactly...
That's what he's talking about in this term.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you mean, let's say, in the beginning, the things that were done in Bracious were rare but happened...
And within the potential of nature.
But what does that mean?
Sarah was really unusual because I heard they said she didn't even have a uterus or something. Way beyond, not just her age, but just...
Okay, that could be a medrash. I mean, there are other things in the medrash that make it seem like there really were a great nisim. But I'm saying the Pesukim doesn't say she didn't have a uterus. So, I don't know. I guess it's within nature, but very rare.
For them at that time was miracles. I mean, they never experienced. And the way they wrote it, probably, the whole story. But actually, scientists had proven everything from the Bible. A lot of things that was happening at that time, which happened even thousands of years later.
But the flood, for example, you brought up the flood, but before the flood, doesn't Hashem say to Noah, prepare yourself? So that takes away the...
Surprise!
That takes away the
surprise.
The natural occurrence of that particular incident.
But it's within the realm of nature. It could happen naturally. That's what I'm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sort of like trying to support the Ramban.
Right. Okay. I understand what you're saying. It's possible to say that.
He talked to me last night. He told me.
You could really use it this time.
Well, Rambam was a wise guy. An overlord.
Sorry.
You didn't know.
All right, so we'll leave that as an open question, right? Can we really understand the difference between what's going on in Breches and Shmos? But for the Ramban, that's exactly what's going on in our Pesukim. Okay, that Hashem is saying that the reason why you were sent is because now you're going to elevate the people and elevate my name in the world by making it apparent that I have control over the universe in this very, very obvious fashion. As opposed to the Avos, who, served me and they were Avdei Hashem, but through them it wasn't made apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ultimate control over the world. We needed Moshe and the entire nation of Bnei Yisrael for that to happen. Now, the Ibn Ezra says something, he also sort of takes that approach, but I think he differs at the end of the Ibn Ezra in a very important way. Okay, so in the Ibn Ezra, after number 3, okay, this is his third explanation of what it means that Ushmi Hashem Lonodati Lahem, so there's the underline, this is the underlying part, the second underlines, Vineha avos lo higia ma'alasam nidavka b'shem kemoshe. B'shem, right, in Hashem. The avos did not reach the same level that Moshe Rabbeinu did of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher yada'o Hashem panim b'fanim. He knew Hashem face to face, like the Torah says. Alken hayachol Moshe l'shanos toldos olam ha'shafel. Of course, that explains, he says, the Ramban's point. He didn't quote the Ramban because he was before the Ramban. But the point that he was able to do Nisim that the Avos didn't is because he was somehow more closely connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw him face to face, and therefore he was able to control nature the way a God would control nature. Ulechadesh oso sumofsim shelo yachlu ha'avos lechadshem, which the Avos couldn't do. Okay, but really for Ibn Ezra, the important difference is not the fact that they can control nature, but what that reflects. What it reflects is that Moshe Rabbeinu was much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Avos were. But then he says something even more remarkable, which is that Bnei Yisrael were also closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Avos were. Because they also saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, panim b'fanim at Har Sinai. He says, and that's how we can explain these psukim now. I think it's he says a beautiful thing. V'inei Moshe amar shnei dvarim. Moshe said two things. Ha'echad lama zesh lachtani, why did you send me? V'hasheni v'hatzel lo itzalta samecha. The second thing he said is, you didn't save your people. V'yeshiva la'achron. First he answered the second complaint, right? And that was sort of a minor point, like we said, at the end of last week's parasha. Ata tireh asher aseh lefaro. Okay, you'll see that I'm going to handle paro. That's not the issue. V'ala rishon, but on the first thing that you say, why are you sending me at all? He says, v'yomer ilav ani Hashem. The answer is that I am Hashem. I am Shem Havaya. V'atam, ki al yedei ha'avos noda shemi shukel shakai. V'al yadcha, but by you, yivada shemi Hashem hanichbad ba'olam, kasher amar, lachein emor livnei Yisrael ani Hashem. V'nei shalachticha, lo'odia ze Hashem. Which is a little cryptic, the Ibn Ezra's point. We're going to see the Abarbanel is going to expand on this in a very nice way. The Ibn Ezra just says that the answer to that question is that until now, my revelation, how revealed I have been to the world, to people, has only been at the level of Kel Shakai, but now I am going to reveal myself at the level of Shem Hashem, Shem Havaya. If you put that together with what he said three lines ago, what it seems to mean is that now I am going to reveal myself panim b'fanim. Until now, I have never revealed myself in such a way. And if you ask me why have I sent you to Bnei Yisrael, the answer is because the whole purpose of this is to reveal myself panim b'fanim to you and to Bnei Yisrael. And this is fleshed out by the Abarbanel. Let's look at the Abarbanel. He's taking the approach of the Ibn Ezra and explaining this whole set of psukim now in a in that way. So he starts by saying, okay, it's pretty long about Abarbanel, maybe we won't read the entire thing, but he starts by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, in our Pesukim, is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that there are three reasons why he's going to bring the Geula. Three reasons why he has to bring the Geula now. And if you look at the Pesukim, right, I mean, we said they seem to be non sequiturs, just v'gam, 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 v'gam. He says, no, those aren't non sequiturs. They're all, it's a list of reasons. This is why I have to do, why I have to take Bnei Yisrael out, and here's another reason why I have to take Bnei Yisrael out, and here's a third reason why I have to take Bnei Yisrael out. So if you just look at the order, he says, the first is that because I only revealed myself as Kel Shakai, and now I want to reveal myself as Shem Hashem. The second is, starting in Pasuk Dalid, because I made a bris with the Avos to give them Eretz Canaan. And the third reason is because I'm a just person, I'm a merciful God, and therefore if people cry out to me, I have to save them. If Bnei Yisrael cry out and say, help me, help us, then I am obligated to save them. So those are the three reasons, the three explanations of why the Geula has to happen now. So first, I just want to read inside how he explains the first one, because that's, for our purposes, really the most important one. So starting after number one, in the first paragraph, in the second line, he says, Ha'echad mipa'as ha'kel yisbarach atzmo, lefish lo nigla la'avos ba'ofen shi'edu v'yakiru oso. Right, he did not reveal himself to the avos in such a way they will know him. V'haya ze lefish ha'isan nevu asam al yedei emtza'i. Okay, their nevuah was always through some sort of medium. It was never unmediated. V'im heyos hadvarim yotzi mehamekor harishon yisbarach, hinei lo heyenoda v'nikar etzlam shefa hasiba harishona. This is all philosophical talk. He says, since it was always mediated, they did not know, and it was not recognizable to them, the immediate overflowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Just the immediate encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rak al yidei emtzaim. It was always through some sort of intermediary. V'ze omro, ani Hashem, v'ayira al Avraham v'yitzchak v'al Yaakov b'kel shakai, u'shmi Hashem. Rotzo lomar, Ani Hashem, I am Yudkei Vavkei, Sibas, Hasibos, Mechuyev, Hametzius, Haumnam, it's true, Niresi Avos, I appeared to the Avos. And here he's very careful about the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I appeared, Va'eira, to the Avos, but Lo Nodati, I was not made known to them. It's a beautiful diuk. He says, yes, I appeared to them in the sense that there was some sort of nevuah that came from me, but it was always mediated, and therefore it wasn't really a knowledge of me. The Gamkin, right, he says, Gamkin Niresi Alehem B'Shem Hashem, I even use Shem Hashem sometimes, Ki Pahamim Niresi Alehem, but also Shem Gamkin. So, yeah, don't worry about the fact that it also uses Shem Hashem a couple of times in Breishis, because in Kol Zeh, Lo Nodati Lehem, I wasn't made known to them. Rotz Lomar Lo Hayisi Noda V'Nikar Alehem, L'Fi Shelo Niv'u Panim B'Fanim. Here's the crucial part, which I said, where he expands on the Ibn Ezra. What it means is, he says, Shaisa Geula Hechrechis, the Geula was necessary, Kdei Shisrael Vim Moshe. Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Echad V'michitzaso Madregaso, everyone in his, on his level, Yinave Panim B'Fanim. We'll have a direct encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but often Shiakiru v'yedu kvod Hashem v'godlo mashalo no de la avos ad heina the fichelo haisa nevuasam panim b'fanim. Right, so he says it goes beyond just Moshe Rabbeinu. The answer to lama zesh lahtani is because I want to reveal myself. Right, panim b'fanim. That's the whole point of this exercise. Okay, that's the Lama Zesh Laftani. You ask me Lama Zesh Laftani, the answer is because until now I haven't been able to reveal myself. And now I am able to reveal myself. That's answer number one. Answer number two and three are that I made a bris with the Avos, and also they have cried out to me. And in the second paragraph in the Abar Benel, just to explain, I think in a very beautiful way again, how the Lashonos of Geula correspond to these three reasons. Like once a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have these three reasons, so then he says, V'hotzeiti, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, those are all to just take them out from the Shibur of Mitzrayim, because they've cried out in pain and suffering. And so that corresponds to that third reason. Then a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, V'lakachti eschem li la'am, but I will take you as a nation. That corresponds to our point that we're discussing. The fact that he wants to reveal himself, B'Shem Havaya, that's when he took them as a nation at Har Sinai. Right? He had a direct encounter with them, that's when he became HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation, and also at Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was a direct revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two points, when we became his nation, are a fulfillment of that, of Shmi Hashem finally becoming known in the world. The fact that I'm able to reveal myself, Panim B'Fanim. And then finally, the Hevesi, the final Lashon of bringing you to Eretz Canaan, that's a fulfillment, or that explains the second point, the second reason for the Geula, which is that I made a bris with the Avos to bring you into Eretz Canaan. Okay, so I think he beautifully explains the entire sequence of the Psukim here, and he does so in light of his understanding, or the understanding of the Ibn Ezra, that Shmi Hashem means to be revealed Panim B'Fanim. Finally, the Rav Tzadok HaKohen, a Hasidish thinker, in his commentary on Ve'era, he has another variation. Okay, and it's similar to the Ibn Ezra, or really to the Abar Benel, in the sense that Matan Torah was what he was referring to when he says, "I am going to be able to reveal myself B'Shem Hashem." But for him, it wasn't the revelation really of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, but rather, Shem Hashem means the Torah itself. Okay, this is a long-standing tradition that the Ramban in his introduction to the Torah quotes and elaborates upon, which is that Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosef Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah itself is really just one big name of God, and Rav Tzadok takes the converse. He says, then the name of God is also the Torah. When we speak about Shem Havaya, we really mean the Torah itself. Okay, and he has very interesting proofs from Chazal. So let's look at just quickly what he says Aval nira ha'inyan de'ikar ha'yedia shenizkar al shemos ha'kedoshim. When we say that you're going to know the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein ha'mechuvan le'da kriyaso, right? Obviously it doesn't just mean how to read it. Rak ikar ha'yedia ha'he'ara va'hofa'a bo me'or kedushat ha'shem. Rather, it means what the emanations, the enlightenment or illumination that one gets from the name. The Shmi Havaya, the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's pregnant, what that is pregnant with, and what, you know, a person who really understands and appreciates Shem Havaya will get, is the entire Torah. Hainu Klal HaDivrei Torah. Kamosh Nilmad, and this is where Chazal seem to say this, they learn, the rabbis learn from the Pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, right, we say Kishem Yudke Vavke Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, we learn from that you have to make Berchas HaTorah. Where does anything about Torah in that Pasuk, that you have to make Berchas HaTorah? Rather, Chazal are understanding that when the name of God is called out, when the Torah is called out, because the whole Torah is the Shem Havaya, and the Shem Havaya is the Torah, then, Havu Godel Elokeinu, give praise to God, that's the source of Birchas HaTorah. So he says, you see that Chazal understood that Shem Havaya was somehow symbolic of everything that you can get from the Torah and from the mitzvot that are in the Torah. And he says another point, V'chein Nidrash Asher Azkirat Shemi Alechad HaOseik BaTorah, right? The pasuk of Koma Koma Asher Azkirat Shemi Avo Alecha Verachticha is referring to a single person who learns Torah. Because when he learns Torah, that's Shem Hashem being said in the world. And he quotes the line, "Dekol haTorah kula shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kanoda." So he says, "Okay, v'das haynu mash omrim va'erinu b'sorasecha uksi v'Torah or v'Torah haynu ha'mitzvot shenitzdavu mipi Hashem yisparach." What is the Torah? The Torah is those mitzvot that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avos, the forefathers, now he's explaining our pasuk. Ashkiu mukola Torah kula ad shelo nitna. Right, they did fulfill the whole Torah according to the Medrash, one Medrash at least. He says, but they fulfilled it on their own volition. Heim kiyamu amiatzma. Moshe amru ba'avram avinu alav hashalom. Shezimin lo shtei kleyosav kishnei rabbanim vayunovos melandos oso Torah v'chachma. Okay, figuratively, of course, Avram Avinu's kidneys were like two rebbeim who taught him Torah. Maybe back then, kidneys were seen as the source of wisdom, so that's why they were using the kidneys. So these were, from his own wisdom, so to speak, he was able to learn Torah. But, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisparach, Lo Tziva Osam Shum Mitzvah, Zulas Mitzvahs Mila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them any mitzvah, right, specifically the Avos, after Shem Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, except for Mila. I mean, Gidon Asher is an interesting case because it's possible that it wasn't given until later. It's just the reason was recounted then. But the real, you know, a clear mitzvah that we got separately from Mitzvos Bnei Noach is Mila. He says the Adam Arishon Itzav Al Sheva Mitzvos Shemichuyavim Kol Haumos L'Kayim Shem Bechlal Derech Eretz Shekarm B'Latorah. He says those Sheva Mitzvos, we don't even need a tzivoy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do those because that's just Derech Eretz. You have to do those anyway. So skip now to after the line the dots, v'shmi havaya shoresh kol mitzvos haTorah lo nodati lahem. Okay, but the shoresh of all mitzvos that I certainly did not inform them of. I only told them a sliver, one mitzvah to sort of give them a taste. The mitzvah of Mila. So he says very beautifully. If you look at the parasha of Mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself there b'shem Kel Shakai. He starts the parsha using the name Kel Shakai. So he says, our pasuk means that I did not give them the whole Torah. I did not give them Shmi Havaya. I only gave them a sliver. I only used the Kel Shakai, which is just one small manifestation of my Torah, of my will, of my mitzvos. I used that in the mitzvah of Mila when I told them something which is a part of the Torah, but not doesn't, you know, come close to exhausting the Torah. So he says, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to Lama Zeh Shlachtani. It's not just to see you face to face, like the Ibn Ezra says, or the Abarbanel, it's specifically to give you the Torah. I mean, the point of Lakachti Eschem Li La'am is not just that you'll be my nation, but you'll be my nation with me giving you the mitzvos. So even though it doesn't say anything explicitly in our pasuk about coming to Har Sinai, we know that before in Sefer Shmos and later after this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasizes that Tavdun Osi Al Har Hazeh. From the very beginning, when he calls out to Moshe, he says, the sign that this was all for me, that this was for the right reason, that this was, you know, the reason why I sent you, the sign is that you're going to worship me on this mountain, that you're going to receive the Torah. And in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Lama Zeh Shelachtani, in an oblique way, implicitly. He says, I did not use Shem Havaya, I did not reveal the whole Torah, but now I'm going to. So don't ask me, Lama Zeh Shelachtani, not in the same critical way that we saw in the beginning, in the first Medrash, but in a very hopeful way, in a way that's supposed to raise Moshe's spirits, that there's something at the end of the tunnel that's going to be so incredible. It's the Shem Havaya, it's the whole Torah that you're standing to get, and therefore, you know, just have a little patience, and that'll answer your question, Lama Zeh Shelachtani. Go ahead.
Well, he says here it fits in with the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra. If the Brit Milah was, if Milah was given to Kel Shakai, so no, on a lower level.
Right.
So they said, in other words, like,
correct. So it's also on a lower level. It's just specifically regarding, let's say, the content of the revelation rather than the revelation itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself.
Right.
Rav Tzadok is focusing on the thing which he revealed, right? The data which he revealed, the Torah.
So last, I think it was last week's parsha.
Yeah, I don't want that.
When Moshe quotes the when he strikes the Egyptians.
Right.
Okay. So they one.